In brightest day,
in brightest night.
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of the women.
And welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, and we're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your super friends.
Teaming up to take you through the world of comic books.
Yes, my teammate, Chris Owen.
Meanwhile, back at the radio station.
Meanwhile, on his honeymoon.
Oh, that's true. I was on my honeymoon
Chris,
for a little while.
On your honeymoon. Welcome back.
Yes, now, thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to formally ask you on air.
Yes.
How was your honeymoon?
It was wonderful. My lovely bride and myself had a great time on our honeymoon down in St. Lucia. So,
Nicely done.
It was very nice.
Now,
very nice.
Let me ask. Now, this is like a delicate situation.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Okay. So, here you are. You're a comic guy. You're a comic weeb.
Yep.
You're on your honeymoon in St. Lucia.
Yeah.
And you know you want to prowl the town, check out to see if there's any some sort of comic type stuff going on.
Yes.
But you're on your honeymoon.
Right.
So you can't really,
can't really look into comic books.
So there was no comic scene.
Sadly, there's no comic scenes, but to sort of quench my need for nerddom.
Right.
I brought an Ian Fleming James Bond novel to read.
Oh, very good.
So that was pretty cool, and it was. And I also brought another book that a friend of mine gave me called Double Dead, where a vampire is stuck in the world of zombies, where now he has nothing to eat and drink anymore. So he actually has to befriend the humans in order to keep his own food alive.
Oh.
So it was pretty.
Like
so I got my fix of nerdity, if is a word.
Oh, good for you. Well, yes. I'm glad. Listen, great to have you back.
Thank you.
So,
yes,
but the show must go on, Chris.
Absolutely.
And I think we'll start off with where we usually start off, I guess, and that is new comics this week. These are new comics.
New comics this week
hitting the stands.
Absolutely
at your local comic book store. Today.
New today. And new this week is brought to you by comic books on the new this week rack. Hey, nice rack.
Whoa. Look at the rack over there.
Look at that rack.
Nice
comic book rack.
Yes. All well right. packaged.
Well, it really is, isn't it? All right. So what do we got going today? We got first up off the block.
Oh, no, you picked them. Why are you asking me?
Easy there, Tiger.
Wow.
First
back
up.
Back one day and all of a sudden.
I know. I'm already giving you a hard time. First up, we have The Flash, number 11, by Francis Manapul, Brian Buccellato, and Marcus Toe and Ray McCarthy. This is another Flash issue with Heatwave,
Heatwave.
Yes.
Remember that song?
Yes. Yeah. And, of course, I like this kind of stuff. You know what? This harkens back to traditional old 70s comics where, you know what? It's just about the Flash and the hard times and battling villains and Captain Cold makes an appearance in it. And actually, I don't want to give too much away.
Don't give too much away.
But as you can imagine, there's Heatwave and Captain Cold.
Yeah. Tornadoes and hurricanes happen when cold fronts and warm fronts.
Oh, you know what? Maybe there'll be like a new character will be made out of this.
Spawned
in Flash number 11.
Right. DC did it wrong. Flash had been first because, he's the quickest, so he would have been first to 13.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. They should have had an extra comic out there.
Yes, they should have.
Absolutely right.
Great to see our GTA boy, Canadian boy, Francis Manapul, still doing an awesome
absolutely,
job
on
The Flash.
And you know what? The Flash has had a lot of strong writers in the past. I mean, Mark Waid, Jeff Johns, just to name a couple. And to be on those footsteps, that's a tough go sometimes.
To be on those footsteps, Chris?
To be on those heels of those footsteps.
Right.
Feels of those
All right, well,
feet.
Anyway, listen.
Whatever you want to call it.
Flash number 11 at your local comic book shop. today.
Absolutely. All right. Next up by Marvel, we have Extreme X-Men, number one, with by Greg Pak. And hold on. I don't know how to say this properly. Is it Segovia?
Sigourney Weaver.
I think it's Segovia. I think that's how you say it. Anyways, this looks really interesting because, you know what? Not only does this have kind of the more obscure X-Men characters like Dazzler's in it, but this is it's a different dimension of the X-Men characters that happens to come by, and it's sort of a neat little look, a little take on the X-Men characters as it is.
Very nice. Now, Extreme X-Men. So here's the thing. What do you call that word that goes in front of the word? Like, you know, extreme, amazing, astonishing.
It's like a... Isn't it
an adverb? No.
It's an adjective. It's an adjective. No. Adjective.
Ad-noun?
Isn't it an adjective?
Is there such thing as an ad-noun? No.
An ad-noun.
okay.
Unpack your ad-nouns.
Right. But see, which umpteenth is this X-Men? Is my
question. Oh, well, yeah, who knows?
So you've had astonishing, amazing, extreme, uncanny, you know. So you
just, it just keeps on going.
It's like naming a car. Like when a new car comes out, you got to give it a new name.
Well,
when
a
new X-Men series comes out, they have to come up with
so
that.
So this is extreme. But you know what?
Precursor
but, thing. But the extreme X-Men, extreme, like remember back in the day, like in the early 90s, that's when all the extreme stuff was happening with Cable and X-Force, and that was like the extreme.
Is that extreme?
Yeah, it was all extreme with all the Rob Liefeld art. Right. That was all extreme this and extreme that. Now, so this is Extreme X-Men, but you know they should have called it something else. Like
they should have.
I don't know.
X-Men.
Let's just call it New X-Men. Oh, they've already done that.
No, they already didn't. Yeah. X-Men. See, you can see the conundrum and the pickle that the boys at
conundrum and pickle
at what's the company called?
Marvel. Marvel. Yeah.
Well, that they're in.
It's true.
They probably have like board meetings.
Probably.
Comes, you know.
They may think about this stuff.
Fascinating. Well, that's stupid. Well, I thought it was a good idea yesterday.
I want to call it the Fascinating X-Men.
The Fascinating X-Men. All right. Anyway, listen, that is Extreme, and it's at your local comic shop today.
Yes.
In the New This Week stands.
Next up, we have... Everybody Loves Tank Girl by Titan Books, and this is by Jim Mahfood and Alan C. Martin.
Mm.
I don't know if you're a fan of Jim Mahfood's artwork. It's a little sketchy. It's a little cartoony. I personally like it. I like his style. It's not for everybody, though. I think the first time I saw Jim Mahfood's artwork was in an old Clerks comic book.
Yes.
And then he did a really, really weird Generation X comic at one point as well. For X-Men, and but you know his style is really strange, and it's not for everybody. It's a little sketchy, a little cartoony,
a little in a hurry.
Yeah, but I do like his stuff, though. I think it's a good style, and it suits the Tank Girl comic book because Tank Girl is a little weird, anyways.
Well,
right?
See, I don't know this, Chris. I don't know this at all. But is Tank Girl is you know when Tank Girl came out, what maybe a decade ago, maybe a little
more
bit
than
more,
that.
Yeah, it was hot. It was the rage. It was the big thing.
Yeah,
is. Yeah, I don't know why I'm asking you, but is Tank Girl still selling? Like, is Tank Girl a property that they're trying to resurrect that has gone the way of the Dodo Bird?
You know what? Well, Jamie Hewlett is the guy that created Tank Girl, and he's also, I think, isn't like either a member of the Gorillaz band or he's does artwork for the band, but I think he's actually a member of it or something like that. And I think he's just busy with his music stuff and busy with all that other stuff. As far as the character, I mean, they had the movie. And did, you know, not great, but not really badly. But I think it's sort of a license that nobody really cares about right now. But you know what? As with anything, it's just an Alan Moore comic away from being hot again, right? Like, I mean, you never know what could happen with something like that.
Good point. So keep it out there. Keep it in the paws of the people.
The paws of the people.
Paws
I like
of
that.
The people.
We're like dogs or something now.
Yes, we are. Listen, check out Tank Girl at your local comic shop today. In the New This Week stands. What else we have, Chris? Today?
Also, last but not least for New This Week, instead of doing a kid's pick of the week, we're doing a graphic novel. Now, this is a little bit different. This is actually, you know, it's funny how when I was back in the day when I was working at graphic novels used to be complete stories that were sort of like one-offs, and trade paperbacks were collected editions.
Right.
Right? So I would have called this a trade paperback, not necessarily a graphic novel.
Right.
But this is a graphic novel that contains the two Marvel Kiss comic books that came out back in the 70s. I don't know if you remember that or not. You're a 70s boy. You should.
I do, of course.
So they're more like a magazine kind of thing. And I think these are the ones, but these are not the ones that Kiss actually put their own blood into the Marvel magazine. Remember that?
Yes.
And it was a big deal.
What they did is they went to the big ink vat.
Yes.
And they poked themselves, whatever, and they put
A couple of drops of each
into the ink vat.
Yeah. So it's not like every issue got a couple of drops of their blood.
No.
Yeah, they'd be dead. Yeah.
It's not like they slit their wrists or something.
No, not like that. It was just a couple drops.
Couple drops.
But yes, they did. There was actual real Kiss blood in the ink.
Fascinating.
But, Marvel Super Special number 1 and Marvel Super Special number 5 is what it contains, and written by both Steve Gerber and Ralph Macchio. It's funny, which I always thought Ralph Macchio, I always thought that was the guy from like Happy Days.
But, you know what? I always thought Steve Gerber made baby food. See how we got all that.
You know, it's crazy.
Gerber and Macchio.
Crazy. We're mixed up world.
Wow.
Living, eh?
That's amazing. Yeah. All right. Listen. So those are just four examples of the myriad of stuff coming out today at your local comic shop. Head in, please, and just check out everything that's coming out new today.
All right. Well, let's. You requested earlier today that we have an all Spider-Man B-sides.
Nah, superior
music
B-side.
Today. So this is what we got going for you. It's the Krantz music from Spider-Man.
Chris, I got to ask you a question.
Yeah, yeah.
How was that not a hit?
It's unbelievable, really. It's amazing. That one,
you know what I mean?
It's even called A Score to Settle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
You know what?
That should have been playing.
Casey Kasem should have been saying that every week for a number of years there.
Missed the boat on that one. I'm telling you that much. Listen.
Yes.
That takes us into
mailbag.
Nicely segueing into comic culture mailbag.
Yes.
And I'm going to read the sponsor. And the sponsor, the comic culture mailbag, is brought to you by Canada Post.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah. Why deliver letters that can be received instantaneously? Use Canada Post.
I think that's a bit of a pun on there. Yeah.
I don't get it. All right.
All right. Anyways.
Listen, they paid for the spot, so
I'm
going to read
it. It's very nice. Very nice of them, yes.
All right. Listen, Chris, this week's comic culture mailbag is addressed to you.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah. Dear Chris, what is your favorite superhero movie of all time?
It's an interesting question.
Oh, Linda from...
I was waiting for a little bit more there.
From Honey Harbor, Ontario.
Favorite superhero movie of all time. You know what?
All time.
I think... It's a great question, but geez, you know what? I think it has to be the Avengers now. Yeah, you know what? I think the Avengers was great. I loved it. You know what? It's not very often I want to go see a movie multiple times in the theater, and I saw that one 3 times. So
wow,
I really enjoyed that one.
On a tangent, what's the movie in the theaters that you've seen the most times?
Raiders of the Lost Ark. Six times.
Me too.
Really? Yeah. Get out of town.
Yeah, I swear to God.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe like 8 or 9 times.
Yeah, Raiders of the Lost Ark for me. And
I thought it would have been Star Wars for you.
You know what? When You're Star Wars first came out, I was too young.
Yeah, okay.
And then, but when Raiders came out, I was just old enough, not necessarily to go. Yeah, I guess I could have gone by myself, but I always found people to go with me
who were just old enough to take
me or whatever, you know.
Right.
Even my dad saw it a couple times in the theater, right? Yes. So, I mean,
yeah, well, he never loved it too because he would have remembered the old 50 serials and
stuff
like that.
Yeah, and he was a big fan. I mean, he grew up in the Depression, so World War II and all that. Yeah. So he took me to see that a couple times and went with friends a few times. And
So though, for superhero movies, you're picking the Avengers.
You know what? I know it's a recent movie, and I know it's hard to say things like that, and I always balk at people when they say it's your favorite movie of all time, but I think as far as, you know, the movie just came out,
mm-hmm.
but as far as superhero movies, wow, like, you know, I don't know if it gets much better than the Avengers. I know that there are a lot of people out there who like the Dark Knight series, and I'm a fan as well, especially of the Batman
Heath
the
Ledger
Dark Knight, Heath Ledger one, yeah, and that was great too, but I have to say that I just, for comic book stuff, I just thought the Avengers was so much fun, and it hit the nail on the head for all the characters, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not a fan of the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies,
right?
The original Batman, the 1960s one,
yeah,
was fun and campy for its time.
Right.
Not a huge fan of the Michael Keaton ones and
the Tim Burton ones. Yeah.
And really, you know, as far as superhero movies. You know, there's really not a whole lot. I mean, although I should say the Christopher Reeve Superman was a big fan of mine.
You know what?
So,
yeah. That probably would be my favorite.
I'm a big fan of mine. I was a big fan of his, rather.
Right.
At the time, remember the tagline for that movie was even, "You will believe a man could fly." And really, that was the first time we'd seen technology like that where you're like, wow, like there's no wires, right? Mm-hmm. Like we don't see anything. It really looked like he was flying.
Yeah, my favorite scene out of that whole thing was that really, really psychedelic scene where Marlon Brando talking in that those really weird hues,
kind
of just far out there. It was almost because Superman, I think, was made, correct me if I'm wrong, it's either 77 or 78,
right?
One of those two,
yeah.
And it was almost like it was a leftover of the early 70s.
I completely agree.
Was just
of that 60s.
Still reaching up into that movie-making
like kinda
thing.
Kind of disco-y, psychedelic-y.
Yeah, that weird kind of thing. And anyway, but the whole movie, they were the ones that were able, for me, to hit it on the head, the whole dynamic and the whole kind of fun to me. And don't get me wrong, I love the Avengers.
So is that your favorite?
Now, I would pick Superman, the first one. Just as my favorite, even though, again, I love the Avengers. When I was a week ago, I saw the Green Lantern for the first time.
Oh, what'd you think?
I thought it was okay.
That's what I thought.
You see, though, I went in thinking, man, like we were away,
right,
with family, and we were watching a movie one night, and it was Green Lantern. So what the hell? Okay, we'll watch Green Lantern, right? And so I was like, oh man, I heard people say this was crap, and stunk, and so we ended up watching it, kill some time, and it was okay.
It's okay.
Fun.
It's not a bad movie.
Yeah.
It's just not a good movie.
Right.
Like it's, you know, at no point in that movie did I ever feel for the characters.
Yeah.
Right. Like I just never really.
Yeah.
But it was like not a terrible movie. It wasn't a bomb,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But you know, I also like the Fantastic Four movies that came out.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were bad. I thought they were great. Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock, nothing else to do.
Yeah.
It happens to be on.
You know,
I'll watch them.
My lovely wife made a great observation on the Green Lantern movie. It was she goes, you know, the American films, whether it's, remember Star Trek, that new J.J.
Star Trek.
And say Green Lantern, and all like the male leads,
yeah,
they're all these, throughout the whole beginning of the movie, they're just like anti-establishment
bad boys
that are just complete a-holes,
yeah,
you know, and then they go on just to become great things.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Because my wife's a teacher.
Right.
Goes, I hate these guys. These guys, they disrupt the class. They do nothing. They all of a sudden later, they you know, anyway. So it was a funny observation.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she was right because you look at, okay, these guys are the badasses.
Yep, absolutely.
They just do everything wrong and then they end up saving the world.
Yep. Yeah. Well,
go figure.
Well, as we've said before, there are a lot of great movies. Actually, we're going to talk about more about movies later on in the show.
Yep.
And so are we? Do you want to do another musical interlude, or are we going to go right into industry
Chris,
news?
Chris, we need music.
We need music. Yeah. All right. Well,
it's good for the digestion.
Well, that one was called, what did I say that one was called again? That was called A Score to Settle. Mm. And so now we're going to have, let's go with, this one's called Sonia. I don't really know why it's called Sonia, but it's called Sonia. Mm. All right, here it is.
What else would you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, clearly.
You know, I don't understand.
What's that?
How the hell that wasn't a hit?
Well, and why have we not played that before?
Yeah, exactly. That was one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard.
Yeah, and I love the xylophone.
Yeah, and that wasn't a tear in my eye. It was like I had something.
Are you
in my
sure?
Eye. Yeah, no,
you
I had look, something
you,
in my eye.
You look like you're a little teary.
I had like
up
a little fleck in my eye.
Okay, all right. Well,
anyway,
let's.
That was
let's
a beautiful song. Anyway, let's keep
move
it
on to yep. Industry News.
Industry
is
news.
Brought to you by Volkswagen, the people's car that is kicking some major Japanese and U.S. butt. Das Auto.
Yes.
I didn't know, realize that Volkswagen was one of our sponsors.
Well, listen, this is how much you and I have grown.
Clearly,
I
yes.
I mean,
yes.
Our show has grown. I mean, you and I also have grown.
We've grown.
As people.
As, yes. Right. Yes. And after my honeymoon, I've grown in size.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, as far as like, my, I ate too much.
Listen.
I ate too much. That's
right.
Where I was going with
okay,
that.
Okay, I'm sorry. Because if it's one thing I wish you would have done on your honeymoon, is grown. Yes. I shrank on my honeymoon.
I wasn't going to talk about that.
All right, okay. Anyway,
Chris, it's hot here all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
Listen, hotter than St. Lucia.
Yes. Speaking
listen,
of.
How do they speak in St. Lucia? Is it like Jamaican almost? Y'all, I'm on.
No. You know, they have there is an accent. It's I'll call it like a Caribbean accent, but
right.
it's not Jamaican. I mean, it's still one of the British Virgin Islands, right?
Right.
So it's, there is
I
a.
I say, y'all, <"Yaman." laughs>
yeah, I say, y'all, man.
Tip, man.
This is getting worse and worse
right.
all the time.
Our apologies to
anybody
our man in London, Danny Champ, especially. By the way, Danny, I don't know if I told you yet. I don't know if I've told Danny yet either, but he is doing a complete comic culture radio Olympic coverage starting next week.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Does
he know that?
No, he doesn't. Oh, so he, because the Olympics start, I think, the end of this
yes,
week.
Yes.
And
we should have done something like the Comic Olympics. Like, we should have done something
listen,
like that, like
listen.
Taking votes online.
Yeah.
And, you know
what?
Who
it's not
won.
Too late because next show we do will be in just the first
in the
beginning of the
it.
Olympics,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And we'll send Danny a quick email tomorrow and we'll come up with something.
All right. All right. That sounds good. Okay.
Maybe like an interview in the queues.
In the queue.
In the queues. Because English people call a lineup a queue.
A queue.
Right.
Hey, did you hear that they're having traffic problems? problems because the cabbies don't like the fact that there's lanes being taken away from them.
Oh, really?
Yes, because for the Olympics, they're taking away lanes for strictly for Olympic use only.
Rather, I say. Huh. That's not good.
No, it really isn't. No, it really isn't.
Because, you know, you don't want to piss off a cabbie.
You never do, no. You know what's really cool about cabbies, though? They, in order to become a cabbie there, you have to complete a test called the knowledge. And we have to know all the streets of London.
Right. Wow. Okay, I got a quick cabbie story.
All right, oh boy, here we go.
So a couple years ago, I'm in Belgrade, Serbia.
Okay.
Capital of Serbia. Big city, right? Couple, 2.5-3 million, whatever. Like a big European town. And my wife's cousin, he's a taxi driver, and he's going to take us on a tour of, you know, downtown Belgrade.
Oh, nice.
But he's going to take us on a tour. So we're outside the house, and so, okay, we're going to go head into this part of town now, and he's got a route. So he opens his trunk out, and I swear, Chris, there's about 5 or 6 tops. You know, like, he picks the top he needs that day, like the Ambassador Hotel.
Nice.
Right? So he just puts that on top of his car.
Like the lighting thing.
Yeah, the lighting thing, right? And then like, when we're going somewhere else, he's like, put taxi, you know? And then he doesn't want to be a taxi, and he wants to be, like, a chauffeur to, like, the military or something.
Right.
He puts, like, I don't know what military he puts, whatever. Yeah. And it's like, I go, wow, this is pretty flippin' cool. Like,
it's like the James Bond of taxi drivers.
Yeah, he's, like, doing probably everything illegally.
Nice.
But I just thought it was fitting.
Yeah, well, in Belgrade, it probably is.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. All right. Listen, where were we?
Industry news.
Yeah, what part?
Starting it.
Okay. I'm sorry. All right.
Well, let's get started here.
Get me back on track.
Okay. Captain Canuck.
Direction.
Captain Canuck.
Yes. Captain Canuck.
So,
yes.
Captain Canuck. There is apparently this is now going to be a big screen feature film, and the screenwriter Arne Olsen. I don't know if it's Arne or Arnie. Arne Olsen has been chosen to write the script for Richard Connelly's still on track Captain Canuck big screen feature film.
That's awesome.
Now you're probably wondering, who's Arne Olsen?
Now, my thing was, who the hell's Arne Olsen?
Oh, well, glad you asked. Okay. Well, his credits include Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie, and Cop and a Half.
How does that theme go? Mighty Morphin Power Rangers? Or is that something else?
it could be that. I don't know.
Right. Or is it... Cop and a half.
Cop and a half. Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Right. Anyway, listen. The kid's done some work, obviously.
This clear,
kid,
yes.
This kid, Arnie kid.
Kid.
And,
kid there.
Yeah, so it's good. So well, listen, it's
so
great.
Apparently, in Saskatchewan, there's a company called Mind's Eye Entertainment.
Yeah, they hold the rights.
They own the movie Captain rights. Canuck, yeah. And apparently they've done lots of movie stuff. So,
they got a good track record.
Yeah, it's looking good. Yeah. Now, you came up with a few ideas for the...
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier. So what would make... You know, so Captain Canuck gets made.
Yes.
You know, and you and I both know the creator, Richard Connelly. Nice man.
Yes, very, right? Very, very great guy.
And I think he's been on our show.
He has a couple times.
He has, yes. I put some suggestions up on Comic Book Daily on what they should do within the movie to make it a hit.
Oh, okay. Right. So you think that it won't be a hit on its own?
No, of course, it could be a hit on its own, but make it even more of a hit, an out of the park.
Oh, okay. I'm just asking. You know, it just seems like you're stretching there for a second.
No,
okay.
I'm thinking like you know, if there's a train scene,
yeah,
you know, they should have like Neil Young as the conductor.
Oh, so make it more Canadian kind of thing, like, you know, put like Canadian stuff in it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe like,
you know, and people that are smart when will you say, get the fact that Neil Young owns Lionel Train.
Yes, because does he own Lionel Train?
Oh, see, why do I write these jokes?
I know.
Why do I write these jokes?
I knew he was.
Why do I write these jokes?
I knew he was a Lionel Train fan, but I didn't think
he owns it.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that. I knew he was a train guy.
Right.
Come on now. What am I?
All right. How about Bill Shatner?
William, sure. Well, let's have
William
him on there.
Why not? Yeah. He should be in there for sure.
And absolutely.
I'm thinking he should play the Prime Minister.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So
he's
should.
Like, he
should.
Captain.
Not only should he, you know, he should be the Prime Minister. Really? Yeah, who would not vote for him? He
that's
should.
That's a good point. Yeah. It's like
Ronald Reagan.
Barack comes up, you know, damn it, Barack. Don't you think I know that?
I like that. That's good.
All right.
That's good.
I think that was... Captain Decker that said that, though.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Anyway. Okay. So yeah, Shatner should be in there. Bill
okay.
Shatner
so okay, but here's the thing. So
he should overact during the press meetings.
Okay. Anyway, he overacts with everything.
No.
So, okay, so who, okay, but who, here's the question of all questions.
Yes.
Who is going to be playing Captain Canuck?
Captain Canuck, yeah.
Yes.
So, I'm thinking, you know, okay, is there just talk about Justin Berber playing him? I don't think so.
Justin Berber, he's a big carpet man.
You know what I'm saying? The kid's too young.
Right.
The kid's too young, and he's not chiseled. He doesn't have
But he does have good looks, if you like that kind of thing.
Yeah. I'm thinking Jerome Ginla.
Oh, the hockey player.
Yeah. He's got that jaw.
Yes.
You know?
Well, yeah, speaking of jaws, you know who has a good jaw for that?
Who?
Would be Justin Trudeau.
Justin Trudeau.
He has got the jaw. Because he won that boxing match between
that
other guy.
Match. Yeah, you're right. Justin Trudeau would be a
he'd
perfect
be good
Captain
too.
Canuck.
Yeah.
Because you see, he might eventually become the prime minister.
That's right. You never know. Yeah.
And I'm thinking also stuff like, how's it going, eh?
Oh, right.
Should be used within the movie a few times.
You know, maybe the, like, what's his name? Dave Thomas should be in the movie, too. Like, you know, maybe one of the hosers back
there.
What's
the other guy?
Rick Moranis.
Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas.
McKenzie brothers.
Yeah,
have
but you know, I was thinking of doing it more like a menacing. It's like, if they could turn that line into menacing, like, you know how Wolverine does, I'm the best there is at what I do, and what I do isn't very nice.
No, oh, I
and,
like
you know,
that.
Batman goes, like, I'm Batman.
Yeah.
Right? And then, like, Captain Canuck can corner a guy and go, how's it going, eh?
I love it. I like
you know
it. I like it, yeah.
Like, put fear in a guy.
Fear.
When how's it going, eh, comes.
Because, you know what? There's not enough people that fear Canadians.
No.
Really?
And this is going to change
that. It's going to change it.
They're going to fear Canadian movies after
well,
this.
Yeah, probably.
No, not if Arnie has anything to say about that.
All right.
I'm thinking for the soundtrack. Come on, listen. Yeah, everybody.
Justin Berber.
Justin Berber. No. Get Burton Cummings in because you see, for the guys in the know,
right?
Chris, for the guys in the know, Burton Cummings is a huge comic book fan.
He is. I know that.
And a collector.
Yes.
So this is paying homage
to Canadian comics.
To Canadian comics, yes. and the whole thing.
I like
so,
it.
Listen, these are just a few ideas. They don't have to take them, but I think
I like it. I like it though. I like
so,
it.
Anyway,
all right.
So it's great news that. Captain Canuck is on track.
Still going.
They've got progress.
Yep.
In the development of the movie, which is a great thing, and we hope here on Comic Culture to report even more.
Absolutely.
Progress.
Yes.
In the film. And I think Chris, you and I, because we both know Richard,
we should get.
We're
going to
get in the film.
Yeah, we should be on the movie. Absolutely.
We'll be like RCMP officer number 7 and RCMP officer number 8.
I like that. Yeah. I like that.
The ones that get shot.
Hey, the guys in red always get shot first, right?
Yeah, you're
you
right.
Know, so
yeah.
It's
all right.
Let's keep on going here. We've got Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah,
Dark Knight Rises.
We should. You know, you and I talked earlier about talking about the film.
Yes.
In light of the tragedy that happened in Colorado,
yes.
And we kind of both came to a conclusion that what happened shouldn't. Take away from the film.
No,
shouldn't take away from our hobby, and shouldn't take away from Batman. You know, I my feeling is that these things should never happen ever anywhere.
No, of right? course not. And
there are sick people, and it's tragic that it would happen anywhere.
Yeah.
And what I've seen on the internet in some places is that they're trying to tie the event to the film somehow.
Yes, yes.
And, whether it's unfortunately in our society where a gunman walks into a workplace or whether he walks into a crowded McDonald's restaurant.
Yeah. Or a block party.
Or a block party.
Yeah.
Or a crowded movie theater. It's just... it's chaos is chaos. You can't.
Yeah,
it's
unfortunate, but I don't think it should sully the image of comic books.
Oh, it shouldn't. Yeah, that's what some people are trying to tie
it
to.
And it's extremely sad. But clearly, this as more and more developments are arising out of what we know about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, he was a kind of a sick individual.
Yeah, not a stable person.
No, not stable at all. And it could have happened to any movie, to anything, at any time.
I mean,
right?
Down the road, unfortunately, in that part of the world there, down the road, the school a decade or two ago,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's just, it's one of those things that hopefully raises awareness and opens up debate on I don't know. I'm not
mental awareness.
It, yeah, mental awareness,
right?
Gun control, you name it. But
yeah.
it shouldn't. I guess my point is it's Batman shouldn't be, you know, just as schools, you know, aren't used in a negative way because something bad happened at a school.
Right.
You know,
right.
Batman shouldn't be looked at a negative way because it happened to happen.
No, you're right.
In Batman.
Yep. So, you're right. You're right.
Anyway, I mean, the movie did well. And again, because it's such a volatile topic right now, the companies didn't release the numbers right away, and obviously respect to the whole situation and stuff like that. And you know, and you and I are just going to touch on the fact that it did end up being a successful movie, and people do want to go see this movie, which is, you know, a good thing for Batman, for our hobby,
absolutely,
for comic book movies in general. Right.
Yes. Now,
and, which is great news.
Absolutely. Right. Now, I know you haven't had a chance to see it yet.
No.
And I haven't either, unfortunately. I'm just returning from my holiday. Mm-hmm. But I do plan on seeing it, so I'm going to report on it next week.
Fair enough. Okay.
But it did make a now what's interesting, I didn't realize this right away, but this movie is not released in 3D.
Right.
I didn't know that right away. I just found that out the other day, and which I'm actually happy about. I'm not a 3D fan either.
Mm-hmm.
I see one of our audience members is cheering right now.
Right.
And
she's looking good over there.
She really is. Yeah.
All right.
And you know, to have a movie still make $160 million and it's not in 3D, because a lot of people do like it. Yep. I think it's a great testament to the movie and to the franchise.
Good. Excellent. And while we're on that subject, we were away during the release of Spider-Man.
Yes. Yes, and that's done and doing well as well.
You know, even just as good news in this fact that Avengers just kind of stole the year.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
And but it was great to see Spider-Man come in, which we all knew. Excuse me, Dark Knight was going to come in strong.
Yes,
but the kind of because it was the end of that trilogy. It was the end of the Nolan franchise.
Yeah,
it was following the big Dark Knight,
right,
which was Mammoth.
Yeah,
so we knew. The expectations of the movie were high.
Right.
What we didn't know was how the reboot of Spider-Man was going to be.
Yeah. And it seems to be doing well.
Oh, yeah. And that's great. It's definitely a successful release.
But, you know, what's interesting is, you know, our one of the guys in our audience was saying tonight that he loved it.
Yeah.
And I was talking with somebody earlier today, and he didn't like it. Now, he didn't.
It's his problem.
But here's the thing. He didn't like it because he didn't realize. Now, maybe he's a little behind the times, but
that it was a superhero movie?
No, he didn't realize that it wasn't meant to tie into the other Spider-Man movies.
Oh, I see. Right.
So he was like, this is like, why, what's going on? I don't understand. You know, he didn't realize it was a whole new reboot of the franchise because it was so soon after, right? So anyways, I haven't seen that either because it also came out while I was getting married.
So let's talk about it.
So sure. It made, in the last 3 weeks, it's made $228 million.
That's just domestically, Chris.
Domestically.
So, yeah. So that's good. Anyway, power to the superhero movies. Keep them coming.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, let's keep on going here. Now, Walt, this is something close to your heart.
Close to my heart.
The new Overstreet Price Guide number 42 is coming out or has come out.
It's come out, yes.
It's come out already. And so this is interesting. So now you're a contributor to the Overstreet Price Guide. Now, what did you contribute anything this year?
Absolutely. What happens is you get a package in right around New Year, and you make recommendations on prices that should go up, prices that should go down, and you're asked to contribute a market report.
Okay.
Right, and we did. Mark Sims and myself did, and it's at the beginning of the book where the market reports go. I think there's only five Canadians
that do it.
Kevin Boyd.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Shuster guy, yeah. One of the Joe Shuster
founders.
Big B, ourselves. I'm trying to remember who
else. Did Silver Snail do anything?
No. Pendragon, Darcy Farrell.
Oh, yeah.
Doug Salip, a stalwart from out in Winnipeg. Yep. And there's one more. I apologize for forgetting, but there's one. Oh, Doug Simpson from Paradise in Toronto.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. Yep.
So those are the five Canadian advisors that filed reports. And you know what? When the guide comes out and there's about 30 or so of these reports.
Right.
It's really good reading. It's like, it's, you know, that person is in the industry And basically, he's summing up the year from his or her perspective.
Right.
And it's good reading. It's necessary reading if you're in the industry to see what the other people in the industry are thinking. Some of them, though, it's tough reads. Some guys just ramble.
Oh, I bet.
Just on and on and on. Man, like, you need a nap.
Do you read all of them?
I try to read all of them.
Oh,
I don't read all of them in the first sitting.
Yeah, yeah.
But I will go. I do my favorites, you know. You know, I reread mine.
I hear it's good.
Yeah. It's the best one there, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, but you know what? The guide, Chris, is always fun when it comes out. The guide is a tradition. 42nd one, right?
Yeah.
It's the people often call it the Bible of the collecting community.
Yes.
It's survived and thrives, still thriving under the assault of these online guides and these online pricing
yeah,
things.
Yeah, but you know what? It's as you said, it's like the Bible. You know what? There's books in there that you don't find anywhere else, right?
Yeah, so yeah, well, that's the thing, right? You know, you're going to get I mean, you know, obviously, if Amazing Spider-Man number one, you can go online to these online tracking sites and find out what the latest 6.0 sold for and stuff like that. But you know, 95% of the comics that are published have been published and are traded, you know, at conventions, flea markets, stores, are not you know, worth money enough to be tracked.
Yes.
And so a thing like the guide is a very kind of a handy
tool.
It's
good because it tracks everything.
Yeah, yeah. And it kind of
But does it really track the books that don't that are like you know, I don't know, X-Men number 192, right? Like,
well, the great
like, who
part
cares?
About, no, well, the great part about the guide is you go to X-Men, right? And you, you know, you scan the numbers, and you know, 192 may have been, you know, Steranko inks.
Okay,
right?
Sure.
And you didn't know that, right?
Yeah,
you need the guide to tell you that.
Oh,
right?
That I understand. So I'm just, I guess I didn't phrase my question very well. So for those kind of more obscure books, are people submitting price increases and decreases for the run-of-the-mill comics as well as the top tens?
I wouldn't say all of them, no.
Okay.
Because some of the advisors get lazy. Oh, man, like, is it this week? You know, like,
Right.
But other ones are thorough. Like, if you read Doug Salipa's report, and I'm sure his what do you call the thing where you submit the ups and downs and prices?
Yep.
It is just as thorough, if not more thorough.
Okay.
Some of them do.
Right.
But
okay.
Not all
okay.
of them.
Okay.
Right? So, and what I think is the guys at Overstreet have done a great job over the years and tracking this thing.
Oh, like, for example, now I know I'm putting you on the spot here, and we're probably spending way too much time on this. But
never
just,
on the guy.
Just out of curiosity, like, did you include, when you did your market report for old books, did you include any Golden Age stuff? Like, did you look at your old, like, the old Golden Age EC horror stuff and say, hey, you know what, this you know, brain-splitting cover is only listed for $20 in the guide. I can get, you know, $80 for that. So, did you include that kind of stuff, or do people include that kind of stuff?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't think I included that this year. Like, I think I may have put, I'm just trying to remember, like 30 or 40 books.
Okay.
That I thought should go up.
Okay. Okay.
And I put about 5 or 6 that should go down.
Okay. Fair enough.
And I tried to run the gamut, and you know, it's funny. It's one of those things. If you're in the industry, you have preconceived things in your head anyway. You have certain things that you believe,
right?
And it's not like I'm doing homework to try to come up with these.
These
are in my head already. I've had this feeling about this book the whole year, and now I get to put it on paper and send it to the guys at Price Guy, saying, "Hey, why isn't this book worth more money?
Yeah,
you know, isn't the first appearance of Squirrel Girl worth more money?"
Right. Okay.
And that kind of thing.
Okay.
So that's what guys do. And that's how
fair enough.
That's how the guide reacts.
All right, fair enough. That's good.
All right.
All right. Well,
so anyway, check out I guess the Overstreet Price Guide is it's published only once a year.
Yes.
So it is available at your local comic shop now, and if they're out, they have no problem reordering them for you.
Right. All right. Well, let's. Why don't we take a quick musical break here,
please?
And again, once a little bit more of the Spider-Man Krantz B-sides. Thank you.
Chris. Again, just a gem. Yeah, how was that wasn't
you
a hit?
You know what? And that one's actually called Jameson and Hammond. And that just screams
I think
like...
that was that Paul Schaefer on the Hammond organ?
It could have been. It could have been. So, wow. And that just screams like Odd Couple music, eh?
Oh, isn't that beautiful? Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah.
Love it.
Stuff.
Love it.
All right. Beautiful stuff. I think you and I are going to push Kranz back into the top 10.
I think so. I think you're right. All right. You know, believe it or not, we're running out of time here. We only got like about 15 minutes left here.
Wow.
Let's keep on going here. We've got IDW, who's doing great stuff with all those licensed products and like Ghostbusters and Godzilla and all that kind of stuff. Well, now they're doing a My Little Pony comic.
My Little Pony, My Little Pony.
Are you a brony?
I am.
Oh, you're
I gotta tell you my brony story. I may have already told it.
Okay. We should probably tell people what a brony is in case they don't know.
It's a grown man that loves My Little Pony.
A grown man that loves and collects My Little Pony. So
what happens usually with a brony is accidental.
What do you mean? I don't understand that.
Chris, it's accidental. What are you talking about? What happens is grown men with sons almost never become bronies.
Okay. See, I can see that. Yeah.
Grown men with daughters are the predominant bronies.
Right.
So what happens is daddy's at home with his little daughter, little sweetheart, little princess.
Right.
She's 4, and they're watching My Little Pony, and he's nodding off on the couch, and she's getting into My Little Pony, and he's kind of watching it and falling asleep. Take a year or two of that. little girl grows up.
Year or two of that. Yeah.
But he can't. Can't get the pony to grow. Yeah.
Go.
Sorry. Right. So you know what I'm saying.
Yes,
so that's what a brony is. So I don't even know why that's funny.
But okay.
Anyway, so that's what a brony is.
Okay.
And
so you tell me your brony story.
So about, I don't know, last fall, I think Mark at the shop ordered, 20 brony T-shirt.
Right.
Like, how stupid is that? What a waste of money.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened when that might have been moving boxes. I might have came in. It was raining. I forget, Chris.
Okay.
I needed a flipping T-shirt.
Okay, yeah.
I'm thinking, I'm flipping. Yeah, I own most of this crap. So maybe I'll just take myself a T-shirt off the rack.
Nice.
And then being, the smart store guy that I am, I'll take something that doesn't have a good chance of selling.
Right.
Because I didn't want to. Right.
Yeah.
So I took a brony shirt.
Okay.
And I took an XL.
Okay.
And I wore it.
Yeah.
And then I wore it the next day or whatever, a couple of days after. And within 3 days, we were sold out of bronies.
Really? Yeah.
I'm going, man, why didn't I take a flipping Spider-Man shirt or something? We were sold out of bronies. People were upset that we could not get more brony shirts.
Can I borrow your shirt?
No. Absolutely not. It's got a stain on it that I don't want to talk about.
Okay.
But anyway, that's what a brony is.
Okay, so
My Little Pony IDW.
They're coming up with a new My Little Pony series that will be written by Katie Cook with art by Andy Price.
My imitation of a first sale of My Little Pony comic. Hi. It's for my daughter. It's her birthday tomorrow. And then... a comic shop person would be, of course, sir, of course, thank you.
Right, that'll be $3.25.
Yeah, that'll be $3.25, sure. Yeah. You know what? With those guys, you can put $9.99 on.
Yeah, true enough,
right? So anyway, yeah, so that's good. I mean, it's good. It's one of those things, too. I don't know, again, Chris, I don't know the situation with My Little Pony. I know that there is an adult-driven nostalgia to My Little Pony.
Right.
Right? And I know that I don't know where the property sits with 5-year-old girls right now.
I'm sure it's good. I'm sure
is
it's
it?
Good.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like,
yeah,
I don't
know. I've got a couple nieces, and they know all about My good. Little Pony, right, and they so like good. It. And yeah, right. Yeah.
Because the other way would have been a bit demented.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. And it's non-sustainable.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
So we get the new generation of kids, basically, into a great property like My Little Pony.
Yep.
And IDW is not only going to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
They're also going to help.
That's right.
Is the right word here? Perpetuate?
Perpetuate the My Little Pony franchise.
Yes. And help it grow and stuff like that. So that's right. Excellent news. Excellent news that My Little Pony's coming out through IDW.
Speaking of perpetuating things, Jennifer Haynes has been perpetuating the love of comics.
Yes, she has.
For many years now.
Doing a great job up in Guelph, Ontario.
Doing a great job. And that has been noticed by the good fine folk at the Eisner Awards this year. And in fact, she won the 2012 Will Eisner Spirit of Comics Comics Retailer Award.
That is massive. So, that is monumental.
Great job for her.
That is incredible for her and everybody that's working with her at the Dragon. Yeah, they're doing tremendous things.
She's been nominated a few times but never won. And
well,
now
I think last year she did top four.
Yep. So now she's finally won, and good for her.
Unbelievable. That's a great job, Jennifer. I know that Scott Vanderploeg, EIC of
Comic Book Daily.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Comic Book Daily. He did a progressive shop profile on her store a few months back. You can go on comicbookdaily.com and check that out. And it's just great because that is like the most prestigious. It's like a worldwide. Hey,
yeah,
listen.
That's great.
And the award isn't given to you don't send your sales records in.
No.
It's not like, hey, I'm Mammoth Comics in Manhattan. And I did $17 million because I live in Manhattan.
It's got nothing to do with the volume of stuff that you sell. It's about being progressive and being open and sharing the love of comics to everybody in the community.
Community outreach and all that kind of stuff and where she stands on the industry and stuff. And I know her store, I think, does the correct me if I'm wrong here, the Joe Shuster Awards, she does a prize, a kids comic prize.
Yes, she does. Yeah. I don't remember the name of it, but it's based on kids comics.
Anyway, listen, Jennifer Haynes and everybody at the Dragon, congratulations. Great, great job.
Yes. All right. Next up. I know we've got a lot to talk about here, but I want to skip over a couple things here very quickly. And I got to talk about this. This is called the Run for Your Lives in Toronto.
Run for Your Lives!
Run for the Hills! This is actually called Run for Your Lives. Yes, this is Run for Your Lives.
Now,
Walt, have you ever...
Sorry, I got carried away. Sorry. All right, where were we?
Run for Your Lives.
Come back.
Have you ever done a marathon or a 5K race or anything like that? You ever done
anything like that? The only marathon I did was like a Star Trek marathon where I watched like six movies in a row. That's about it. That's the only marathon. I think I did a spare rib marathon. At Ponderosa one year. What was the question?
I meant a running marathon.
I'm sorry, no. Oh, yeah.
Spare rib marathon. You know, if they don't have that, I think somebody should have that.
All right. What was your question? Sorry.
Okay.
We'll go back.
Okay, so Run for Your Lives is a 5K race
in
Toronto.
Yes.
But you're not just running against the clock. You're actually running against zombies. It's actually a survival type race. Mm-hmm. There's obstacles and there's a set course that you have to avoid the obstacles and avoid the zombies. A flag is attached.
It's like British Bulldog.
Pretty much. Yeah. There's a
British Bulldog.
You have a flag that will be attached to a belt. And basically, as you run, you have to avoid the zombies and avoid the obstacles and all that kind of stuff. So it's a 5K obstacle race. Now, if you wanted to participate, you're more than welcome to do that and have all the flags and try not to.
Hold on. How many flags do you get at the beginning?
I believe you get two.
So is a zombie allowed to take two at once?
No, I think they can just get one.
Just get one? Right.
So the zombies who want to take your flags and maybe eat your brains. Mm-hmm. However, if you... there are health bonuses throughout the race as well. So if you find a little health bonuses, you carry them on, and it will save your life. So even though you lost your flag, if you find one of these health bonuses,
like mana?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like mana. Yeah.
Wow.
And so basically, if you arrive at the finish line with a flag intact, you could win a prize of some sort.
You could win a prize. You don't win a prize for sure.
No.
After putting all that bull crap, and you go, you have to put your name in a hat.
Pretty much.
How stupid is that? All right, I'm just saying.
And now, mind you, if you want to just run the race without the flags, you can run the race as well.
Right. So. Wow. Okay. That's awesome. So hold on. So zombies will only attack the flags.
Only attack the flags. Because the flags is like your brains, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So if you're running without a flag...
Yes.
They'll let you go.
Yeah. Well, they're only going after the flag. They're not going after. They're actually like tackle you or anything.
Right.
Like, that.
Like a gang.
gang flag.
Flagging. Wow. All right.
Gang flagging.
Sounds exciting, I guess. So when does that take place?
You know what? That's a great question. I don't have all that information.
But it happened yesterday, for all you know.
It's in August, I believe.
Let's make it up. So that is August 8th at Front Street and in front of the Metro Convention Center.
People
will go there and go, where the hell is everybody? Got my flags.
August 8th.
Okay.
They can go online to check if they want.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I guess that.
We'll just make it.
That would work too.
No, go down to Front Street.
I never thought of that.
Go down to Front Street, August 8th.
Chris, I keep forgetting about this internet thing. You can check stuff. All right. Anyway. So that sounds like a lot of fun, though.
Yeah, sure does.
All right.
I don't know anymore.
Where are we now?
Okay.
How many minutes do we have left?
We got just over three.
Wow.
Okay, very quickly, let's talk about Archie.
Okay.
Archie's. Okay, so speaking of zombies. You know, I remember all those zombies that were out in Toronto during the whole Occupy movement?
No.
Well, they weren't really zombies. They were real people.
Right.
Setting up camps kind of stuff.
Yeah, okay, I get it.
Well, Archie is doing their own Occupy movement in the comic books.
Right.
And they're going against the man, you know, and they're...
The man.
The man. So the Occupy movement has come to Riverdale. Is it the unfettered capitalism versus the social democratic, or is it just Betty versus Veronica? On Wednesday, Archie number 635 will have an exclusive Occupy movement copy.
Wow. That All is right. Archie, the Occupy movement, fighting the man.
That's right, fighting
remember
the
that,
man.
Remember that? Oh, I guess I can't say this on air, but I'll say it anyway. remember that old Richard Pryor album before he got famous? He did an album called... super derogatory term for a black guy.
Right.
Right. And his best line is, you know, he comes in like Superman and he goes, super derogatory term for a black guy.
Yeah.
Able to see through everything except Whitey. And this is like the Occupy movement. They're fighting the man.
They are.
The landlord. The 1%.
The 1%ers. That's right.
And they are, or what? Well, what are they doing?
They're just...
Yeah, but what are they doing? Like,
that's the whole Occupy thing. They don't really do anything. They just occupy territory, and then they
okay. So they're going to write it like the police are going to come in. And
yeah,
take them out
exactly.
And all that
yeah,
kind of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, much. Agree with me or disagree with me? Archie Publishing,
yes,
is hitting all the
Absolutely.
Social things.
Absolutely,
same-sex marriages. Yep. Occupy movements.
Yep.
They're going for the social issues.
Not just same-sex marriages.
To the forefront.
They were the one of the first ones to have an openly gay character.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
Kevin Keller.
Yeah,
you know, they've got the Occupy movement. They are really starting to be on the forefront more so than any other comic out there,
absolutely.
As
Good
far as
Archie.
Social commentary and political movements are
right.
concerned.
Right, yes. right. Good for them. Good on
Good
them.
For them.
Good for Archie.
That's right.
Chris, is that it?
That, you know what, that is it, unfortunately. Okay.
Do you have that paper at the end?
The one where it says, that's all the time we have for today.
Can I borrow it when you find it?
I think so. Yeah, here it is.
There it is. All right. Right
wait, hold on.
We are seamless, Chris.
Well,
we're seamless.
Well, that is all the time we have for today.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
well
good.
Well done. Yeah. Listen, Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered today by you and myself.
That's right. Yeah, right. We did the work,
For comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link. Scroll to the comments field and add your comments. Also, visit us at getthepointradio.com.
And remember, it doesn't have to be all downhill after the honeymoon. Oh, I didn't even see that was coming.
Wow. Listen, go out and support your local comic book store.
And have yourself a great day.